Start your engines!
Bring them up, gang. Bring them up.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
I promise that for the next hour, we will be full throttle on this show. No half throttle, no resting. We will be going full bore the entire time. Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You're listening to the Riley Auto Parts Pit Reporters. With me this week, Dustin Long from NBC Sports and Holly Kane from the NASCAR Wire Service.
It's the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network, presented by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. Now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
And welcome to the show. Glad to have Dustin and Holly here, and I hope I was speaking for both of you and that we're not going to save any fuel here. We're all going full bore on this one.
Vroom, vroom.
We're going to get into that in a second. Holly, it's so good to see you. It was good to see you at the track last weekend, and we're glad you're doing better. And it's amazing what having Michael Jordan in victory lane will do for NASCAR on a national media scale, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. What a huge, huge story. And to me, the best part of it all was how genuinely elated Michael was. I mean, he was as excited as I've seen him after some of his basketball victories. So that was really fantastic for the sport, for the team, you know, on multiple levels.
I agree with Holly, and I think that's an important thing for the fans to see because – Michael has done very limited things, and obviously when we've seen him out at times, and he's shown some excitement on pit road after races. And I think about at Daytona last year in the regular season finale when Bubba made the playoffs for the first time, and we certainly saw some of the excitement there from Michael. But I think the fans don't always see that, and I think Michael and I understand he is. Wherever he goes, he's in demand. People want to get a piece of him or piece of this or this or that. So you don't see as much and you don't hear as much from him. But I think exactly what Holly was saying is just the genuine excitement. You saw the person, Michael, as opposed to the cultural icon, the business executive, the one of the greatest athletes. You just saw a person. And I think back to when he was holding Bo Reddick, Tyler's son, and just, saying, are we going to celebrate? And Bo goes, yeah. And it's just this big, I almost kind of describe it as like this uncle type of laugh, this exaggerated laugh that we saw out of Michael. That, again, it was just, I think that was, we saw a human element of Michael that you've not been able to see, especially in the sports world, because it was all about, being laser focused, defeating the opponent and going after them and doing the job. And here it was. This was fan. This was human, Michael. Layers were peeled back, and that was nice to see. And I think that was good for the fans to see. Michael's not just a business icon.
Well, and we all know Holly how involved he has been in this sport and how much he's been a fan of this sport since he was a little boy. But I think on a national scale, a lot of people don't realize that, and I think this gave them a chance to see. Yeah, he's into this, and he's committed to this long term. And it was funny to hear Reddick talk about after the race. He goes, I didn't know he was here. And that's probably a good thing because we were beginning to think he was a jinx.
Right, exactly. And you know what, you really hit on it, and so did Dustin. It was the genuineness of it. And to see him, I mean, and he had no trouble telling everybody, I'm so excited to be a part of this. And that's the part of having somebody like him be a part of a NASCAR team that is that you don't even think about. You think this famous guy like this, Pitbull also gets very excited when Trackhouse wins and is over the top. But these are people that genuinely are enjoying it, and they've invested money in it. They've invested their name in it. And to have that kind of payout is exactly why they do it. And I think Michael might even concede it was an even better feeling than he anticipated.
Well, and it doesn't happen if we don't get the finish we get. And Michael McDowell, I give Michael McDowell credit. He was doing what he thought he needed to do to win the race, Dustin. And he admitted afterwards, he goes, when I came back down the block, I was just a hair too late. And a lot of people are critical of the blocking, but that's what they've been doing at Talladega and Daytona for years.
Well, people are critical of everything at Talladega, Daytona, the speedway racing. It's either they're saving fuel and they're not going fast enough. And then years ago, they're running single file. I want them back three wide. Well, you saw three wide, but they were saving fuel. So, yes, blocking, yes, it's been an issue. It's been an issue for a long, long time. It is a part of the sport. That doesn't mean it's right. I mean, obviously, you'd like to see where you don't like the idea of cars getting turned sideways at 180, 190 miles an hour, and especially in front of the pack, because that's a dangerous situation. But that is, I don't know how you rectify that. I mean, I guess you could come out with a rule and say you can't block. And you can't make a move to do, you can, or you can only make one move. I think what Holly does in IndyCar have something like that, where it's, you're allowed to make one defensive move, but you can't make another move or something along those lines. But then you are putting it in the hands of the NASCAR officials to make that call. And that just creates another whole can of worms. Do you want that? So look, Michael, you know, Michael is, it has been a tough year for Michael. He's been quick and had great speed on the super speedways. Things haven't worked out, and now this is the second week in a row he has wrecked while running first or second. You remember at Texas, you know, he wrecked in turn four going side by side and being on the outside hitting that bump in four, and basically later said, look, I felt like I need to make my move then to get control of the race at that point because of the challenges there. So he made the effort. Here at the end of the race, you're going to do whatever you can. It's been a tough season for that group. They've had speed at times, but they haven't had the performances. They're further back in the points. A win gets them in the playoffs, and that helps them, again, you know, helps them build toward the playoffs. You know, are they even if they make the playoffs, are they a long shot? Sure. But this gives them more opportunity to potentially build playoff points, put them in a better situation. You know, maybe they're not going to build up the playoff points like Martin Truex Jr. had last year, but remember how important playoff points were in helping Truex advance throughout the playoffs, because he had a horrible first two rounds, but he still made it and advanced up until the third round. So, look, understand what Michael McDowell did. I think every other driver does that. I don't think you're just going to let somebody on the inside of you without trying to make a move like that. So I don't know what – if you don't like that, I can appreciate that, but I don't know what the answer is.
The interesting thing to me in those situations, Holly, is it. I was thinking back on it. More often than not, when that happens and when you end up having a wreck as a result of it, it's not the guy that's in second that wins the race. It's a guy that's in third or fourth or fifth, and that's what happened at Talladega with Reddick.
Well, absolutely, and I want to piggyback a little bit on what Dustin just said. I mean, I believe that any driver that's in the position that Michael McDowell was would do that. He's got two lines of cars coming at him, approaching the finish line. He has to go down and try and salvage his position and block. He's got to try and figure out which one's the greater threat. And I think any of those guys would do the same thing if they had been in that position. So I absolutely think so. And you're right. It's not often the guy that's in second place that zooms through and wins the race. It's somebody coming back. And I think part of Tyler Reddick's emotion was that I don't know that he was really expecting he was going to win the race there at the very end. I think that was something that came about. He took advantage of it, but I don't know that he was thinking that it was going to be him. And I think that had to be part of it as well.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about what has been a controversy this week among a lot of the fans. I don't know so much about the drivers being controversial, but the fans have been very concerned about this fuel saving. Is it really that big an issue? Stay with us.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, and it's so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at Z-Max.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Z-Max, for your car, big rigs, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts store.
There's more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters still to come. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
If you have a chance to make a difference in a kid's life, you need to take full advantage of that opportunity.
For those kids to know somebody has their back, somebody is caring about them, thinking about them when they feel like nobody is.
Anything that I can do now to support Speedway Children's Charities, I do, because I've seen the work firsthand.
We owe it to children, no matter where they come from.
Unfortunately, there is no end to some of the terrible atrocities in our world. Speedway Children's Charities can feel really good that we are getting the most good out of every dollar that's given. At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission
is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
And if one child is still in need,
then there's still work to do.
Because their future
is our future.
And there's still so much they can teach us.
Find out more at SpeedwayCharities.org. Get your short track racing fix with PRNs at the track. Visit GoPRN.com. Now, more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters.
And welcome back, along with Dustin Long from NBC Sports and Holly Kane from the NASCAR Wire Service. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. All right, Dustin, tease to going into the break. A lot of fans have been making a big noise about this fuel saving. I maintain that if you were just sitting there watching the race or listening to it on the radio and didn't know, didn't have somebody telling you that they were saving fuel, you wouldn't have known it. You would have been intrigued by the race itself.
Well, again, you would have had, because they're saving fuel, they're three wide. And as I noted earlier, if they're going hard and fast, one, there's only going to be two lanes because there's no way that third lane's going to get developed. But I think the issue of fuel saving, I think people get so wrapped up in it, you miss the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is what these drivers talk about is the challenge in passing and the challenge in being able to make a move, the challenge in trying to move up through the field. So when you can't move up through the field, or it's so difficult to do so, that your best option is to run further back, save fuel so that you save enough fuel so you're spending less time on pit road than some of the other cars, and you can leapfrog them that way. And that's how you get track position, instead of, you know, years ago where Dale Earnhardt passes goes from 18th to first in the last four or five laps at Talladega. That's what happened. So, you know, I think that is the bigger issue, is how do you get these cars to pass and make moves and be able to do some things? Because without that, you are going to look at this situation of, this is the best way to do it, and it's not going to change until they figure something out to where if I'm running 20th or if I'm running 12th, I feel like I've got a good chance with 5 to 10 laps to go. If I'm 12th now, based off what some of these guys are saying, it's going to take a tremendous amount to get there. And, you know, I think what even Kyle Busch expressed his frustration on social media is just like, you can stay in line and finish where you are. You can go and try to make a move and you fall backwards and you finish at the back. And that's, I understand the frustration for drivers on that point.
Holly, you know, is it true that when you go down the I-4 that, you know, you're watching that little average miles per gallon, and you'll be saving fuel? No.
That's exactly what I do. Exactly. You know what? You actually stole what I was going to say as the devil's advocate. I believe that, generally speaking, you don't know. First of all, you don't know how fast the cars are going. I've heard people complain, oh, they're not going as fast as they should. I don't know how many people can tell the difference between 195 and 170 just looking at them. But you know what? Staying in that pack, we had a fantastic ending to the race in terms of, it was very competitive. Cars were making moves and you knew that was going to happen. So despite all the fuel saving, despite all of that, it looked like a regular Talladega Super Speedway race to me. It came down to a frantic finish at the checkered flag. And so for all of those things that Dustin said, and I understand the teams and the drivers worry about early on, the ultimate outcome looked no different than what it did 20 years ago when you had all these cars making all these moves and trying to win the race there in the last few laps.
You know, Dustin, we don't get the big upset finish, the big wild card winning these races very often, but we do end up with situations like, you know, BJ McLeod running up near the front. Anthony Alfredo had two great races over the weekend.
Unbelievable weekend for him.
And you end up with these guys up in the front, maybe a lot of times during the course of the race. And it's great to see these guys running up in the top 10. They may not be able to stay there because in a lot of cases, the pit crew is going to let them down at some point because they just don't have the quality of pit crew that a Gibbs or a Hendrick or the other teams have. But it's neat to see these guys, and these are their opportunities.
Well, that's the key word, and I heard a lot of people describe it as these races are opportunity races. And look, when they go to Dover this weekend, you know, some of the guys that had good finishes, it's going to be more challenging to repeat that. Look, Noah Gregson had a third-place finish. That's a career-best finish for him. You know, that's a good momentum builder, just something to kind of feel good about. You know, you think about Todd Gilliland finished a season best eighth. Daniel Hemric finished a season best ninth. Harrison Burton, a season best 10th. You know, for Hemric and for Burton and for Gilliland, it was their first top 10s of the year. You're 10 races into the season. So, I mean, shoot, we're almost a third of the way through the year. It's, you know, that's a long stretch to not get a result that you hope to get. And so that's something to feel good about. I mean, look, this sport is hard, it's tough, it grinds, it wears, and it can beat guys down. And this is a great opportunity to kind of, you know, look forward to something and to have that opportunity to get that result and walk away from the track feeling good. And so, you know, for those guys, it was a fantastic weekend. Obviously understanding the frustration of others who got caught up in incidents and didn't do as well, but that's part of the excitement or the drama that is often associated with a Daytona and Talladega in particular is just there is that opportunity. I mean, you know, look, going into that race, Corey LaJoie finished had three top tens in his last four races on drafting tracks. Corey LaJoie was a legitimate candidate to be considered as a winner for that race. Is he a legitimate candidate every weekend? No, and that's nothing against him. That's because of the equipment and everything else and other factors. But, you know, I think that's what makes these races, you know, part of what adds the element of intensity and excitement and drama to it is just you don't know who could win it, and it could be somebody. I mean, look, you know, Jesse Love wins the Xfinity race. And for a moment there, Brendan Poole looks like he's going to win, you know, or challenge him there. And that wouldn't that have been an incredible victory? I mean, it's great for Jesse Love. I don't want to take anything away from him, a 19-year-old winning his first Xfinity race. But, boy, if Brendan Poole had been able to win that, how about that?
Yeah, and we mentioned Anthony Alfredo. What do you have, both top 10s in both races,
career,
Holly?
Career high.
Yeah, I mean, he had a great weekend, and I know that that's going to get people's attention.
Absolutely. I mean, that, as Dustin mentioned, that top 10 was a list of people that we aren't commonly putting in the top 10 in terms of their finishing. And so, and not only did they finish well there, but Daniel Hemric ran up front during the day, as you said, Anthony Alfredo did, BJ McLeod ran up front. So I think that Talladega really presents itself as a place that you go and genuinely it's anybody's race. You just never know how they're going to turn out.
All right, when we come back, the one car manufacturer that thought they had a great shot Sunday didn't get it, and now they're 0 for 10. When can they break that slide? Stay with us.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it. And you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-748-0593. 800-748-0593. 800-748-0593. That's 800-748-0593.
Want to hear one of our past shows? Visit goprn.com. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Start your engine!
Daniel Suarez has smashed the wall here at Dover.
Blaney touches Keselowski, moves him up the racetrack a little bit, dives that Ford down to the bottom in turn two.
Here comes Chastain, going to go to work on William Byron. Going to go to the outside now, try to make the pass, and he's going to make it happen off of turn four.
It's the Wirth 400 from Dover. Sunday, April 28th at 1 Eastern on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
They'll race side by side through turn number one. He's dicing right now with Parker Kligerman as they battle for position.
Mayer's going to move him all the way to driver's left as they stack up and crash at the rear of the field. It's a multiple car accident.
He looks to the right side of Austin Hill's car. They get almost too wide but get back into line there.
Sheldon slides sideways and will recapture the top position.
Kligerman down on the low side. It's going to be Love on the high side. Love by 3 feet at the start finish line.
It's the A-Game 200, Saturday, April 27th at 1 Eastern on PRN. Check out all of our show pages on goprn.com to find archived shows and more. Now, back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
O'Reilly Veriscan is a free check engine light testing program that pulls from over 600 million vehicle scans confirmed by ASC certified technicians that provides a simple report and possible fixes that are available exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts. We thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for supporting the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters, along with Holly Kane from the NASCAR Wire Service, Dustin Long from NBC, Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. All right, Holly, did Ford miss their best chance to get a win for the near future at Talladega?
Well, I mean, it missed an obvious chance, I guess you could say, because there were so many running right up front and running right behind Michael McDowell. It's interesting. When you talk to the Ford drivers, they tend to say it could be the next race. You know, they aren't nearly as disheartened maybe as everybody else that has given commentary about them. But I think that was one of the really good opportunities that they're going to have. But look, you know, I mean, a lot of the Ford drivers have wins at Dover in Fords. They're going to have a bunch of mile and a half tracks that we'll see how that all shakes out. But yeah, I think Ford was disappointed in not getting the win, but I think they were encouraged by the way they ran.
0-10, Dustin. They never imagined that when they brought out the new Mustang.
Yeah, it's you know, at the beginning of the season, the question was Ford and Toyota going to be ahead of Chevrolet since they had the new bodies, or was Chevy going to have the advantage because they had something they'd worked with and knew, and Ford and Toyota would need some time to kind of work through things. And you know, I guess, you know, Chevy's come out ahead with what William Byron and the Hendrick cars in particular have done. You know, Toyota's had a couple of those, you know, had a chance to get to victory lane. But yeah, boy, it is something surprising to see Ford at this point. And yeah, as Holly said, it was a great opportunity. And now you kind of, you know, I kind of wonder, like, anything can happen at Dover, but you know, if you're looking at the Ford, you're thinking instantly of Penske. Ryan Blaney won top 10 in his last six starts at Dover, or in his last six races. I'm sorry. So, you know, they just haven't been able to hit on all cylinders. Joey Logano has 27 starts at Dover and has never won, and that's the most starts he's had at a Cup track without a Cup victory. So, doesn't mean he can't win. Doesn't mean he's not going to be trying. I mean, they certainly will be, but this is a track that, you know, when you look at the top four guys is, you know, they're kind of coming into, it's not the best situation at this point, but then again, maybe things turn around. Then you go to Kansas and you look at what is in particular 2311, but what Toyota has done at Kansas. And will the Toyotas be as strong there? And if they will, if they are, then that becomes a further roadblock for Ford to win the following week at Kansas. Then you're off to Darlington. You know, that's a track Joey Logano is very good at. Could it be Darlington? I don't think they want to wait until throwback weekend to get the first win for this car. So it's challenges. But again, you know, that's the great thing about sports. We can discuss it and debate it and everything else, but it doesn't matter what we say or what we think. It's, you know, what happens when they go out there. And that's why sports is the great live entertainment vehicle that it is, because you just don't know what's going to happen.
Well, Holly, you look at it, I mean, you talked about it. The four drivers, at least publicly, are not as discouraged as you would think they might be. But, you know, Ryan Blaney's the top four driver, seventh in points. Then you go down to Chase Briscoe is 12th. He's the second four driver. And you look at this, what seems to be the constant is they say they just don't have the speed. Well, we're coming up on some tracks now where speed is going to be important, right?
Absolutely. And they concede as much. But I think I had a long talk with Brad Keselowski at Talladega. And, you know, he still feels like it could be the next week. It could be the next race. He's not counting them out. Obviously, they would like to have some more speed. But I really get the idea that these drivers, it would not surprise them to win at any of these. And Dustin brings up great points. Statistically speaking, Are they necessarily the favorites? Is their recent performance they're making them a favorite? But I believe in speaking with them that they feel like, you know, the tide is turning. I think Talladega actually turns into a positive experience in terms of them being able to run up front and do that.
You know, the thing is, you think about how much Ryan Blaney lost Atlanta by to Daniel Suarez. You know, and you think about
if he wins that, I mean, you're talking about something else. There isn't this discussion point.
It changes the whole conversation. Yes. And McDowell,
or if Kyle Busch wins that race. I mean, I know we're talking about Ford, but think about if Kyle Busch wins that race and the struggles that he's had lately.
Yeah, it changes the whole narrative. So I mean, that's the thing. They're that close, and yet we're still talking about Atlanta, Talladega. You're still talking about super speedways.
Yeah. And again, it's you know, those have been the best opportunities for the Fords. I mean, they've had some other runner-up finishes. I know Brad has finished second the last 2 weeks. Did have that runner-up finish at Texas. And again, they've had some close calls or opportunities, but just haven't been able to put it forth. But again, you know, I know talking with Ryan Blaney recently, and he was saying, even though they didn't have a win, he said, look, I feel like we're further ahead than where we were last year. And quite frankly, they are. They have more top fives, top tens. They've scored more stage points than what he had at this point last year. And again, what happened last year? Well, he went on to win the championship. So, you know, with this format, you don't have to be, you know, lighting the world on fire all season long. You have to be good at the right time. And now, again, it's not like they're trying to do this on purpose. And obviously there is a risk involved with not getting as many playoff points because, you know, look, Blaney advanced last year because he won at Talladega and he won at Martinsville. Without those wins, he's not in the championship four. So if you can build your operation to where you're stronger late in the season when everybody's getting stronger and everybody's supposed to be better, you know, then, you know, I guess you can make up for some of the early season woes. And I think that's the question and the challenge. Team Penske's done it the last 2 years with Joey Logano and Ryan Blaney winning championships, where the first part of the season, you know, they were not, you know, really tearing it up. And we were talking about other people, but at the end of the day, those are the last two champions in the series. Can Team Penske do it again and make it three in a row and be celebrating, you know, in November and all the way through the off season?
Yep, that remains to be seen. When we come back, Dover lies ahead. The Monster Miles. Stay with us.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Improve visibility and save $8 instantly when you pick up a new pair of Bosch Icon wiper blades in-store only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Bosch Icon wiper blades have up to a 40% longer life than other premium wiper blades. The professional parts people will even install them for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
This is NASCAR racer Michael Waltrip with Echo Park, the official used car of Speedway Motorsports. I'm inviting you to Echo Park's Coffee Cup Series. This NASCAR season, me and Echo Park will be arriving to the tracks early to meet fans over a cup of coffee and check out some of their cars. Plus, you can win a VIP ticket upgrade and ride in the pace car. Woo-hoo-hoo. Talk about a whole new meaning to pre-race jitters. Echo Park, every car, happy owner.
We've got more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters in a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, this is Carson Hocevar, and you're listening to Country Radio Hall of Famers Kathy Martindale and Paul Shadd on Racing Country Classic.
It's Kathy and Tim McGraw.
I can see you getting more into the technical. I can see you producing.
It's a fun thing to learn. I enjoy doing it. When I get the opportunities to do it, I try to learn as much as I can.
Hey, it's Kathy Martindale and Paul Shadd on Racing Country Classic.
Racing Country Classics.
Each year, vehicle trespasser and pedestrian accidents along railroads change the course of innocent lives, from train operators and passengers to families and first responders. Interacting safely with tracks and trains is the goal. It's important to be alert when approaching crossings. Never drive or walk around lowered gates. Do not walk on or beside the tracks. Trespassing is dangerous and illegal. Don't risk your life. Keep clear and stay safe. For more information, visit metrolinktrains.com/stay safe.
Check us out on YouTube at GoPRN Live. Now, more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
Hey, welcome back. Dustin Long from NBC Sports is here. Also, Holly Kane from the NASCAR Wire Service. One change for the lineup this week, Dustin. We have found out that Erik Jones has a spine compression fracture. Will not be running this week. He suffered that on the wreck at Talladega. He will be replaced by Corey Heim. He at this point, Erik says he's out this week. He does not know how much longer he'll be out, but he wants to take it easy. And Legacy has already asked for and received a waiver for him to make the playoffs.
Yeah, with I mean, look, when you've got a lower back injury and with that compression fracture and a lower in a vertebrae, look, there's not a good place to go, but to your next race being Dover, where you know, they talk about it being such a roller coaster experience and just how you're just being thrust, you know, just really forced down in the seat as you just really go down in those corners. That was one of the things that I was thinking about on Sunday after I heard he went back to the infield care center and then was transported to UAB University Hospital in Birmingham for where he was later evaluated and released, was just, if it's a back injury, Dover's not going to be fun, and that he has this injury. You know, it's great that they're, you know, able to sit him out. This is what the waiver policy is meant for in NASCAR. You know, let your athletes heal. You know, don't force your athletes to have to play so hurt like this. That it's just a tough situation. Now, look, I'm sure he's still going to be, you know, in some pain when he comes back, but you know, you hope at that point you're able to control it a little bit better than right now, and let that part of the body heal a little bit and rest, and not go through, you know, all the challenges that and all the forces that it will go through at Dover, and just how it, just so much on the back. And you often hear about from these drivers just about, you know, their lower backs and just how sometimes they can really be hurting after races because of just what they go through. So, you know, great that Erik is, you know, hate that Erik is having to sit out. Great that he's able to do that, to rest, and that there's something in place that should he win later in the season, that he still would be eligible for the playoffs and be able to compete in the playoffs. And that's what this whole, you know, waiver system was for, and applaud NASCAR for instituting that.
Yeah, Holly, all the three of us have been around long enough to remember when, you know, Ricky Rudd taping his eyes open and guys getting in the cars when they had no business getting in the cars. And I agree with Dustin. I mean, we've come a long way in that department.
Absolutely. And I'm with you, Dustin. I mean, of all the places to go, this is definitely not a place that he should be in the car, and I can't imagine how painful that would be. So I'm glad that there are plans in place that he can step aside, feel good about just healing up. And, you know, it's amazing because I think about it, and really, like what Ricky Rudd did, and some of the drivers that have, you know, with Ricky, they say that he taped his eyelids open and stuff like that. In the big scheme of things, wasn't that long ago. So the fact that we have the waiver system, that they're getting these great checkups, and that the drivers know to make sure they're feeling absolutely fine before they get back in that car, and that they can do that, not feel at risk from their sponsor or their team or the sport to take care of themselves, I think says a lot.
Good opportunity for Corey Heim, who'll be filling in for him this week.
Yeah, and look, he is somebody that a lot of, you know, he's had a success. He's done some really good things. There's a lot of people talking about him. You know, it's a great opportunity to get in a cup car. If I'm not mistaken, wasn't Eric Jones's first time in a cup car as an injury replacement? I think that was kind of how he got his first cup start. And so, you know, look, I think we're anxious to see, you know, look, we're seeing a lot of great things out of Corey Heim. I think the expectations, you're going to continue to see more great things out of Corey Heim in the years to come. And this will be just his first opportunity to get used to a cup car and to get some of that experience right now. And the beginning of what should be a fantastic NASCAR career.
All right, this is, Holly, I like to call it an intermediate track, even though it's a mile, and all the definitions seem to have changed in recent years. We used to call anything a mile and over super speedways, as you know, and now that's not the case. But it is a concrete track. It's unlike anything except, you know, Bristol's the only other concrete track, really. And it's just, I don't know that you get a lot, that you learn a lot at Dover that will help you someplace else, do you?
I agree. It's so unique. And, you know, I was doing some preparation for my riding this week, and a lot of the people that have won at Dover are veterans. They're people that have been there a lot and have learned that track. So I think that plays all into it. You know, I do love the fact, though, that they have kind of these unique venues, and I would classify Dover as one. I enjoy watching races there, and I think the challenges that it presents are so different from what you have anywhere else. And isn't that what we want to see? We want to see these guys having to go at it and prepare for different things.
Dustin, this kind of starts a string of intermediate tracks, as you talked about. You know, you talk about Kansas, Darlington, leaving the All-Star race out of it at North Wilkesboro, then Charlotte,
yep.
And then Gateway. The old adage is, we'll know what we have by the time we get to the 600.
Yep.
Does that hold true this year?
Yeah, I think you'll have a better idea. And I think with early in the season with Las Vegas, that, you know, you had Las Vegas, then you a little bit later you had Texas. That's kind of spaced things out a bit for teams to kind of work on some things. But yeah, I think it's still a good point to look at. You know, Charlotte, that would be what, the fourth mile and a half. You'll have a Darlington in there, which is, you know, not exactly a mile and a half, but it kind of gives you some of those principles that's a good, I guess a good foundation to kind of understand where you're at. And again, it gives you time for the summer to make changes, because mile and a half still play a role in the playoffs, especially later in the playoffs. You think of, was it Vegas and Homestead late in the playoffs. So, and Kansas is in there as well. So, you know, the mile and a half still are going to play an important role. And I think this is an opportunity to kind of see, you know, can you make some adjustments from early in the season? Okay. If you've made it, okay, how do you keep moving forward on that? If you're still struggling, okay, now you've got the summer for a good part of it to kind of get things right and try to fix things before the playoffs. So, it is a good measuring stick. Look, let's be honest. Every race is a measuring stick in its own way. But, you know, I would say that you'll have a few more races under your belt by the time you get to Kansas, by the time you get to Charlotte for the 600. And, you know, if you're still struggling, then you've got a lot of work to do. But, you know, on the opposite side, too, if you're doing well, you still got a lot of work to do to keep everybody behind you.
Well, Holly, by the time you get to the 600, you've passed the halfway point of the regular season, right?
Exactly. And you really need to know what you have at that point. But, you know, you're right. Even if you feel like you're doing well, you always have that feeling somebody's catching up to you. And I feel like that's kind of where all the teams really look within and they're like, okay, where are we? Where are we championship wise? And that's, it's a very important part of the season because of that.
All right, a change coming to the All-Star race and a little experimentation NASCAR is going to be doing. Will it work? Stay with us.
Hey, airline travelers. Let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 800-397-6805. 800-397-6805. 800-397-6805. That's 800-397-6805.
More of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters in a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Time to pull down on the handle and start rolling them here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
The green flag flies at the Atlanta Motor Speedway.
We're about to contest the Coca-Cola 600.
We're racing at Texas Motor Speedway.
Now Keselowski goes way up the racetrack.
Here comes Harrison Burton. He rockets to the lead.
Trouble. Car goes around. It's Chris Buescher.
Joey Logano battles to the outside. They come back to the start-finish line.
Bubba Wallace looks inside. And now here's Byron. Takes a quick left to block him. They head back to one.
Here goes Ross Chastain. He's going to the bottom of the racetrack.
Bubba goes up. Blaney hits the outside wall off of turn two.
Can Christopher Bell do anything with him? He gets down to the bottom of the racetrack.
Briscoe dives to the bottom of the racetrack. Side by side, they get loose. They spin. Now Tyler Reddick does a 360. So does Briscoe.
Heading into turn number seven as he wraps it around. The crowd is cheering for Daniel Suarez here on this final lap.
Allmendinger gets into Alex Bowman. Ross Chastain back out to the front for the final time.
This is PRN.
Follow at PRN Live on Twitter for show news and information. Now more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
And welcome back, along with Holly Kane from the NASCAR Wire Service, Dustin Long from NBC Sports, Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. You know, the All-Star Race has been used for experimentation before, like the double file restart, which was such a hit that it moved into a regular part of the NASCAR race and has been working great ever since. This year, the All-Star Race at North Wilkesboro is going to be a good test session for using softer tires. They've announced that each team will have, for the All-Star Race, will have two sets of regular tires and two sets of what they're calling option tires. Now, the option tires are going to be slick tires, but made with the same rubber as the wet weather tire, making it a softer tire with more grip and faster wear. Each team for the All-Star Race itself will have to start on the option tire. Now, NASCAR is not saying, Holly, how long they have to run that tire or if they have to run the second set of option tires. But for all the criticism that the short track package has been getting, this is going to bring tire management, like we saw at Bristol this year, purely by accident. This is going to bring tire management into the gameplay, I think. And I think, I'm fine with this, to use this as an experiment.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, and that they have been able to use the All-Star Race to try out formats, different things like that, to see how it would go in the regular season. And I think what we're seeing with the tires for what they've just announced for the All-Star Race this week, that's definitely going to be it. And, it's a great opportunity for teams to do things that they don't have to worry about points or anything like that on the line. So I think that this is a welcome opportunity to not just do like a tire test, but to be racing with them and see what that is. And so I think it really presents itself as something good. I think the teams will be excited about, and who knows what's going to happen. And that's what makes the race so good.
Dustin, could this be the answer to the short track package to improving the short track racing?
It's a step, and whether it will or not, we'll see. But again, it's you're encouraged by the fact that NASCAR, Goodyear, the drivers, everybody's willing to try something. And look, the drivers have said, let's do something. We've got to soften up the tire. You know, like the drivers are talking about more horsepower. That's not going to happen. So, okay, what's the next option? It's the tire. What can be done? You know, we've heard that, you know, Goodyear, you know, even last year they were looking at ways to, you know, lack of a better term, soften the tire or to make them wear a little bit more. And this is being a little bit more aggressive on it. And that's what drivers have said, is like, let's just really go after it and see what we get and, you know, how that can help moving forward. Now, again, I think what's interesting is just that, you know, North Wilkesboro is a repave, and, you know, typically at repaves, you kind of have more of a single file type of racing. Now, maybe you'll still continue to see that, or will this help that in any way, or you have comers and goers because some people are on the option tire and it wears quicker. And once those wear, that those on the primary tires, which are not as fast off the start, start to make their moves, then you can have passing that way. It's just trying to find ways to create where there's some action, where there's things where cars can move and drivers feel like they can have a hand in where they finish. It's like, you know, I mentioned earlier with Talladega, is just, you know, people talk about the fuel savings, like, hey, let's figure out how to make the cars pass or where drivers can make some moves. That's the same thing here with the short track. And I think with, you know, looking at this and this, you know, obviously there's a lot of hope. Now, look, you know, we've been around long enough, and we were talking we've known that at Charlotte, they tried it 1 year at the All-Star race, and it, you know, they had a different compound, and it was effective when they practiced during the day when in warmer conditions. And I think it was a 3/4 of a second difference between the softer tire and what was the regular tire. But then when you raced the All-Star race that night and it was in cooler conditions, that gap was more like a tenth or something like that. It wasn't as significant, so it did not have as big of an impact. But again, you've got to try things to learn that. I think, you know, I'm hopeful that the fans are appreciative that the sport's trying something and understand that, hey, this may be the most spectacular All-Star race. And if so, that would take a lot because there have been some pretty good ones, or it just may be a race, and so be it. But, you know, I think this is a step forward. The first step was to figure out how to move forward. Now the sport's looking at tires. And I think the second step is now let's see what happens. You know, what do you take from this? This is a good learning experience. Can this be taken forward to some other tracks later in the season, potentially? You know, again, there's some short tracks in the playoffs. What if this works out so well that, you know, you could use this at a Martinsville, and now you have two different tire options, and now, you know, with 100 to go or 50 to go or 75 laps to go, there's a caution. Now what tires are you putting on? It's not like, hey, I got to stay out for track position because it's hard to pass. It's like, okay, we got to come in, but now what tire are we going to take? And that might be the difference. And again, it's adding all these different elements. It's adding the team aspect, but it's also potentially giving more control to the drivers to allow them to be able to make some moves, which, you know, right now they're saying they're not able to do as much. So look, it's a great opportunity to try something on a non-points race, and let's see what happens. And if it works well, then okay, let's start bolting them on some other cars at some other tracks. Let's Goodyear start cranking up the tire factory.
Well, you know, Holly, I often said one of the big challenges in testing, period, is that you're going out there and testing with 4 cars, 5 cars. The All-Star race gives you an opportunity to go out there with 20 cars, for instance, 25 cars. That's where you're going to get a better feel for how it's going to affect the aerodynamics and things like that. To me, this is a great opportunity to do testing, more realistic testing than you're doing in just a tire test or a 4 or 5 car test, right?
Absolutely. And that's what I was saying. I mean, because you are surrounded by more cars, and the difference also being with a high motivation of trying to win the race and to immediately get a hold of what we need to do to make the tires right. So I think this is a great thing that NASCAR has thought of to do this. And, you know, they're able to try something to increase competition in an event where the competition is going to be there because of it being an all-star situation. And I really think it kind of bodes well for everybody.
One of the things that they're talking about, it's a 200-lap race. There will be two cautions during the race, scheduled cautions, lap 100 and lap 150. And at the lap 100 break, Dustin, teams must perform a four-tire pit stop using any tire of their choosing.
And that's putting it in the crew chief's hands at that point of, like, what do you want to go with? And do you want to go with that softer tire that in theory should be faster, but it's going to wear? So, and you were going to say, is it there's a caution at 150? And you don't, you know, you're not required to pit. So then do you come in at 100 and say, hey, we're going to put the soft tires on. We know there's a caution at 150 and we'll come back in and change tires at that point. Or do you say, hey, let's forget about lap 100 and let's go put the softer tires on lap 150, depending on how it plays. I like the idea that it adds a little intrigue. It's just like this past weekend's race with Talladega is, and I know the fuel savings may be something that bothered some people, but the idea of in that third stage where, you know, the Toyota cars that were further in the pack, and realistically it was going to be very difficult for them to move up through the field. So what did they decide to do? They decided to come in as a small group and pit ahead of time once they got in their fuel window to make it to the end of the race. And now you have this whole idea, which, you know, it forced the pack to react, and had the Toyotas not wrecked, it would have been fascinating to have seen how it played out. Now, it still played out well for Toyota because that caution proved helpful because, you know, Reddick, Truex, and Ty Gibbs, who had already pitted and weren't involved, you know, weren't damaged in that wreck, they were able to kind of go up to the front of the field, you know, for that caution when everybody else came in and put themselves in a good position. And that led to, you know, contributed to Tyler Reddick's win. So the idea that a crew chief now has to make that decision on, do we pit here? What tire do we put on? Do we save that last set for 150 for that option tire? I think that's fun and exciting, and that'll add another element. And again, hey, think about this. You're the crew chief, and you're making a decision that could cost your team or win your team $1 million. The $1 million decision. How much pressure is there on that?
Yeah, an awful lot. My favorite rule here, Holly, on this list of rules. And they put this in here because, you know, if they didn't put this in here, somebody would have tried it. All four tires on the car must be of the same type at all times. You know, somebody would have tried it if they didn't put it in there, right?
Exactly. They know these guys too well. They know these guys too well.
You gotta cover everything, Dustin.
Well, it just reminds me one year of the All-Star race with Jeff Burton. Didn't he win a segment with Frankie Stoddard on how they pitted right before the end of the segment? And it was
they just rolled across the line
on pit road. And so it was a brilliant call by Frankie Stoddard, the crew chief for Jeff Burton. And then, like, the next year there was a rule written, you can't do that, and they're going to close pit road and things like that. So yeah, so these guys are going to come up with something. And and sometimes NASCAR catches it ahead of time, and sometimes NASCAR has to react.
Yeah, they will also have qualifying will be taking place for this race. It will include a pit stop. Total time will help determine the pole sitter.
So you got the pit crews.
Pit crews will be involved. Yep. There'll be two heat races that will set the lineup. A 100-lap All-Star Open, and then the 200-lap main event. And you'll have the fan vote winner will get in as well. So, but I think the intriguing part is going to be the soft tires. And as we've talked about, I love the whole idea that NASCAR is using this as an opportunity for a full scale test. And as we talked about at the top, we've seen it before. Things that have come out of the All-Star race that have been tested at the All-Star race are now regular parts of what we see every single week. And I think have been improvements to the sport. So we'll see how it plays out when we come back. It's time for our white flag lap. Stay with us.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up on your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
Brett McMillan returns with his guests in just a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, it's PRN's Brad Gilley. Did you know you could take PRN with you anywhere? That's right. By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast from anywhere. Make sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. Download today for station listings and on-demand access to your favorite studio shows like Fast Talk, The Pit Reporters, or Garage Pass. Get all the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
Hey, I'm Corley Joy for Speedway Children's Charities. The mission for Speedway Children's Charities has remained true since its founding almost 40 years ago, to care for children in educational, financial, social, and medical needs in order to help them lead happy and productive lives. So many children have benefited from our group in the past, but we need your help now more than ever. There's so much we can do when we all join together, so let's start today. Visit SpeedwayCharities.org to learn more. I thank you in advance for your help.
Download our free mobile app to listen to the show and more great PRN content on the go. Now, back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters.
Real quickly, before we go to our white flag laps, I have failed to give our O'Reilly Pit Reporter poll for this week. Go to goprn.com and vote. This week's poll is about two teams that were formed at the same time. Which team would you rate higher right now? 2311, Trackhouse, or they're pretty equal? What do you think? Last week, we asked you, who will be the next to end a drought? And an overwhelming amount, 68% said it will be Brad Keselowski, 18% said Alex Bowman, 12% said Chase Briscoe, and, well, poor Austin Cindric's only got 3% of the fans. His family and friends voted for Austin Cindric. There you go. All right.
Vote early, vote often.
There you go. Apparently, they didn't vote often enough. All right. Not when we come back. Right now, we're going to our white flag laps, and first up from the NASCAR wire service, it's Holly Kane.
You know what? That poll actually plays into what I wanted to say, which is I feel like the longer that the Fords have gone without the win, the more motivated they are. And we're talking about some amazing drivers that can absolutely do it. This make is going to get a victory. And I think that, as your fans said, Brad Keselowski is just on the verge, back-to-back runner-up finishes. And in speaking with him this weekend, he wants it so bad. He's won at all four of the upcoming tracks that they're coming to. And I really think that we're going to see the Mustang Dark Horse get into the winner's column.
The Blue Oval fans are behind you 100%, Holly. Next up from NBC Sports is Dustin Long.
Well, I think there's a lot to be excited and look forward to these next coming weeks, as we talked about the stretch of races coming up, then obviously the All-Star race with the rule changes there. But when you look at the points right now in the top 12, only five drivers have won races so far this season. There's certainly quality drivers who've yet to win. Martin Truex Jr., second in points. You know, you look at Ryan Blaney, the reigning series champion. A guy like Ty Gibbs still looking for his first victory that seemed so close earlier in the season. Can he find things to get back to it? You know, you talk about Trackhouse and 2311. You know, Ross Chastain still looking for his first win of the season. Bubba Wallace. I'd throw in Alex Bowman as well. And even Chase Briscoe with what he's been able to do here lately for Stewart Haas Racing. So I think it's an exciting time with, the potential. Yes, it's been a season that's been dominated by Hendrick Motorsports and Joe Gibbs Racing so far this season. Will that continue? Maybe it will, but maybe there'll be some different winners along the way. And I think this stretch will be a fun period to watch to see what happens, and certainly looking forward to that All-Star race in North Wilkesboro.
All right. I am as well. I don't quite understand all the uproar about the fuel saving we saw at Talladega. Was it really that big a deal or that distracting? It was another one of those things that if you didn't see the live data or hear somebody talking about it, would you have realized that it was happening? My bet is you wouldn't. Sometimes too much knowledge can be a bad thing. It's those times that you need to take a step back and take yourself back to the basics so you can find the enjoyment that first attracted you to the sport. Dustin, Holly, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week.
The O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network was presented by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.